seems to me that people want to look younger or more successful or more attractive. It seems to me that we're living in a society where we are desperate for stuff but don't understand the secret of contentment. And in the passage we're going to read now, Jesus tells us the way, the meaning of satisfaction. So, we're looking at satisfaction for life. And if you've got your Bible, we're going to be reading a long scripture together. John chapter 6, verse 22 to 59. I'm going to start reading. If you want to turn in your scripture, you can catch up when you find it. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat. And they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and they went across to Capernaum to look for Jesus. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, how did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal things that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors, they ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread. My Father did, and now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said, "Give us this bread every day." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those who he has given me, but I shall raise them up on the last day. For it's my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day." Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father, we know his mother. How can he say that I came down from heaven?" But Jesus replied, "Stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone eats the bread of heaven, however, will never ever die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I offer so the world may live is my flesh." Then the people began arguing with each other about what Jesus meant. "How can he give us flesh to eat?" they asked. So Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but they will live forever. Jesus said these things while he was teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. Wow, there's a lot in that passage, and I assure you that I am only going to skim the surface this morning. But the first thing I want to say is that Jesus had given them a physical sign. When we read anything in the Bible, we want to look whereabouts in the Bible it is. We want to look at the context. And we find that this teaching happened the day after Jesus had fed 5,000 people from a small boys' picnic. John says the next day. And by no means are every day of Jesus' ministry recorded. But this teaching actually illuminates what Jesus had done the previous day. And what Jesus did the previous day points as a sign to this extraordinary revelation. So the people who had followed Jesus, and wherever he went, people followed, they realized that the disciples were gone. They realized that Jesus was gone. And so they went all the way around the lake and found him in Capernaum. And Jesus didn't say, well done. Jesus didn't say, it took you a while, but you got there in the end. Jesus didn't say those things. Jesus didn't even encourage them. The thing that Jesus did was challenge them. He said, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me simply because I filled your bellies, not because you understood the sign. Now listen to what I'm going to say now, because this is, I think, really important. It's vital that we come to Jesus. And it's vital that other people come to Jesus. But it's crucial that we come to Jesus for the right reasons. You see, it's easy for the gospel to be reframed. Come to Jesus and you will be happy and healthy and wealthy. And so we see people come to Jesus because they want to be happy. Now, don't get me wrong. Lynn has just given a testimony of tough times. But in those tough times, she knew joy. Joy is different. It's distinct from happiness. It's not superficial. It's not determined by that which is external. It's determined by that which is internal. And so often people come to Jesus because they want to be happy. And when the fun stops, they're stopped. And you see people who come to Jesus because they want to be healthy. Now, don't get me wrong. We want to see people healed. But if people are not healed in the way that they want to be, in the time frame that they determine, Jesus is still worthy of praise. People come to Jesus because they want to be wealthy. I believe that by faith, as we give, we receive. But if we give only to receive, then we don't give to God. We give to our own greed. We become the God in the equation. It's important that we come to Jesus, but we come for the right reasons. And Jesus said, don't be concerned about the wrong reasons. Don't fret yourself about the things that are here today and gone tomorrow. But the crowd, they didn't get it. They didn't see it. They didn't understand it. The crowd was saying, well, give us a trick, Jesus. Perform another sign. And then they used Moses against him. They said, of course, Moses, he fed our ancestors in the wilderness. And so Jesus used this as an opportunity in a synagogue in Capernaum 2,000 years ago to bring revelation to these people and to bring revelation to us today. Jesus gave spiritual revelation. Now, when we started looking at this series on John, we said this, that there were things that were distinct in John, different in this gospel than Matthew or Mark or Luke. One of the things is John speaks about signs. There's a sign in Oxford. A sign that points to something greater than itself. When Jesus turned water into wine, it wasn't just a miracle, it was a sign. When Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, it wasn't just a miracle, it was a sign that pointed to something greater. One of the other distinctives about John is that we hear Jesus say again and again and again, I am. So, in order to understand the sign, and in order to understand what Jesus means by I am, what I want to do is to take you back 1,200 years before Jesus. Because in the passage I read, there was a lot said about Moses. So I'm going to give you a little overview of what happened with this man Moses. We find God's people in captivity in Egypt. And God used a man who was born as a Hebrew slave, raised as an Egyptian prince, and is now working as a Midianite herdsman. And God spoke to him because he saw a bush in the desert that was on fire but not consumed. Now, a bush in the desert being on fire was no strange sight, but one that was consumed seemed to grab his attention. And so Moses went, and the Lord spoke to him through an angel through that burning bush. And God said, I've heard the cry of my people, I've seen the suffering, and I've come down to help. God called Moses to go back to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Who spoke? God spoke. Now that word in the scriptures, God, is a generic word. We find the God of the Hebrews, we find the God of the Midianites, we find that each nation worshipped their own God, their own idol. And so Moses said to God, and if I go to Pharaoh, who shall I say has sent me? And God said, I am. God revealed himself to Moses as I am. I just want you to think of that for one moment. The one who's self-sufficient, the one who is not dependent upon his praise, the one who is the creator, not the created, not the God of yesterday or tomorrow, but the God of today, not the one who was or will be, but the God who is. God said, I am. And so what we find is that Moses presents himself before Pharaoh and said, I am, says, let my people go. And Moses or Pharaoh said, no. But then we find that eventually, by hook or by crook, they were driven out. And as they're wandering through the wilderness towards the promised land, God himself starts to provide for them because their supplies had run out. And so God provided day by day by day this bread, this manna from heaven. And so in light of what Jesus has taught, in light of our understanding of the scripture that's gone before, this story of Moses and Pharaoh, what does Jesus reveal about his identity when he said, I am the bread of life? Well, the people, they were using this example of Moses and saying, give us another sign, perform another miracle. We don't want a Messiah, we want more of a show pony. And Jesus was saying, it wasn't Moses who fed you, it was God. And God didn't need Moses, he chose to use him. And God doesn't need you, but he chooses to reach out to you. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus here is making the first of seven statements. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. But Jesus is not just revealing his ministry, what he does. He reveals who he is. And it's easy for us just to read over that, because if I said, I am Gareth, you wouldn't think twice about it. Or I am a husband, or I'm a father, or I'm a Manchester City fan. I might get some abuse, but it would be in one ear and out the other. But when Jesus said, I am, he's saying something extraordinarily significant. Let me just turn you to John chapter 8. Here we find that Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. And at that point, they picked up stones to kill him. And in John 10, they said, here he is, a mere man, a carpenter from Nazareth, the son of Mary and Joseph. Here he is claiming to be who? Claiming to be God. What Jesus said was staggering. For them, it was blasphemous. Jesus was claiming not to be a representative of the divine. He was claiming to be divine. So in light of the story of Moses, in light of the statement where Jesus said, I am the bread of life, what is Jesus revealing about his ministry? I think Jesus is revealing that his ministry, being bread, being God's sufficient supply for you and for me, comes out of his identity. You see, if Jesus wasn't I am, he couldn't be the light of the world. If Jesus wasn't I am, he couldn't be the resurrection and the life. If Jesus wasn't I am, he wouldn't be a very good shepherd. If Jesus wasn't I am, he wouldn't be bread that's sufficient for life. So what does Jesus mean when he said, I am the bread of life? Well, if you go to China, people could not envisage living without rice. And if you go to Italy, people couldn't imagine living without pasta. And if you go anywhere in the Middle East, the idea of living without bread would be an anomaly. And so throughout the scriptures, we find that if wheat or barley fails that makes bread, it's as if everything fails. People need to leave this place to go somewhere else because they require bread. Bread for life. Bread is a prerequisite of life. Some of you will know the story of Ruth, and we find that a family travel all the way from Bethlehem to Moab in order to find bread. Do you know what Bethlehem means? It's the house of bread. And so Jesus stands in the house of bread. Jesus comes from the house of bread, and he says, I am the bread of life. In the Bible, we find that bread is a prerequisite of life. But it's also a prerequisite or evidence. It's a sign of friendship and fellowship. You know, when I was in business, I sometimes went out for swanky meals at posh restaurants. But if people come to our home, they're more likely just to break bread. Come after church for a bacon butty. It's what we do down south, because we used to do it up north. We break bread with people. So I want to just understand what this means for us. Jesus teaches personal responsibility. This morning I just went through the passage again, and I just realised that time and again Jesus says what he will do and then tells us what we should do. Just want to go through a quick summary. Verse 26, Jesus said, I fed you yesterday. Verse 32, my Father fed you in the wilderness. Verse 38, I have come from heaven to do the will of God. Verse 39, I will not lose one he has given me. Verse 54, I will raise them up on the last day. That's what Jesus says he will do. That's his responsibility. But listen to what we're told. Verse 26, we're to spend our energy seeking that which is eternal. Verse 29, we are to believe in the one that God has sent. Verse 35, we're to come to him. And verse 47, we are to eat of him. That's an odd picture, isn't it? What does Jesus mean? I am, we've seen, the bread of life. But how do we eat of him? And I just want to give you three quick ways now. I think the first is through his word. Do you remember the time where Jesus is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness? For 40 days, Jesus, he must have had a belly that rumbled like thunder. And the devil appeared to him and said, all you need to do, Jesus, is turn this stone into bread. I know you can do it. He was tempting him just like the people tried to tempt him later. And Jesus quoted the words of Deuteronomy. These words were spoken by Moses. And God said that you should not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God says to his people that I did this to discipline you. We often think of discipline as punishment for what is wrong. But in Scripture, discipline is training to do what is right. The people were being told to trust, to depend upon God day by day by day. And Jesus wants us to know that you and I need to trust day by day by day upon his word. Because his words are words of life. Now, if you want to know more about this, and you weren't here last week, listen to what James said. Because James was speaking from Psalm 1, and he was speaking about the importance of God's word, listening to what God says. And sometimes people think we just need to listen to one verse, and sometimes people see Bible reading as a race to see how much they can pack in. God wants us to take hold of his word like bread and to savour it and to delight in it and to be nourished by it and to allow us in appreciation to receive it so it will do us good. Paul says to his mentee Timothy that all scripture is inspired by God and it's useful. It's useful to teach what is good and make us realize what is wrong. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God wants to speak to us, to strengthen us, to sustain us, to equip us, to discipline us through his word. Now, does anybody here believe that the Bible is inspired by God? Now, I'm not going to do it, but how many of us have read it every day this week? How many of us have delighted in it every day this week? Or how many of us have been preoccupied with Netflix or iPlayer? It's interesting, isn't it? Because we know that the answer is thus, but we often live our lives doing this. And God wants us to be those who come to him in appreciation. Because we receive Jesus, the bread of life, through his word. I just want to show you, in fact, let's have a look at something else. Let's have a look at fellowship with him. You know, when I was at school, I remember doing biology. And I remember thinking that simply what you eat, you got rid of. And that was the digestion system. But actually, this week I've started to look a little bit more closely at it, and I realise that when we receive bread, the first thing that happens is it hits our tongue, and the saliva that is produced starts to break the bread down, and so molecularly it actually becomes intrinsic, it becomes a part of us. It doesn't just pass through, but it strengthens us, it equips us. And when we receive God's word, and when we allow God's word to dwell in us, actually, because God cannot be separated from his word, He dwells in us and we dwell in him. And so what we do is we're not just receiving strength and nourishment. We receive him. We receive fellowship with him. We receive joy in him. We receive satisfaction from him. Now, earlier in the week, I had a Zoom call with a lady called Rachel Hecker from the Evangelical Alliance. And the EA have recently done an incredible survey called Finding Jesus. And they've interviewed 300 people who have recently come to faith. And they've started to ask the questions, why? This is a quote I just want to share with you. One lady said this. On the outside and on paper, you would have thought I would have been the happiest. I had everything I ever wanted. My partner had a successful business, which meant I didn't have to work. We had two children, which is all I wanted. We lived in a nice little village, and I just thought, wow, why am I not happy? Because I had what I'd always thought I wanted and thought that I had everything that I wanted in life. But actually, I was miserable. The statistics show that 37% of those who come to faith recognize that they needed help with life. 34% recognized that they needed meaning in life. I want to suggest that the 34% needed to receive Jesus, the bread of life. The one who grants life, the one who gives satisfaction, the one who through God means that we can break bread with him and him with me. Now you might have noticed the communion tables being set. And so I just want to share one last thought with you, that in this passage, Jesus predicts an ultimate fulfillment. So far, Jesus has been making this link between his bread and his word. But now in verse 51, Jesus said something different. He said something actually quite shocking. Jesus said that his bread is not only his word, but his bread is his flesh. And he said, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I'm sure the crowds were confused. And I'm sure the disciples were confused. And I'm sure that they had to revisit this teaching after Jesus' death. Because the night before Jesus died, he revisited this theme. And again, drawing on the story of Moses. Jesus spoke about the night before the people left Egypt. He spoke about the Passover meal. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body ripped apart for you. And in the same way, he took the wine and he poured it out. And he said, this is my blood and it's poured out for you. And so we find that Jesus here is teaching about the way we can be nourished by his word. But he's teaching here not just about the present, about the future. That he can be in us and we can be in him. That we can be united forever and ever. And so in verse 35, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus said, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, we live in a society, as I said, where options are many, but satisfaction is scarce. And we have this revelation of Jesus. And so the question I want to ask in closing is this. Are you satisfied in him? Is he all sufficient for you? Do you allow his word to dwell within you, to sustain you, to strengthen you? Do you delight that you can fellowship with him, that you can break bread with him. Scripture says, Jesus says, come. We're going to sing a song, and in a moment, that's going to be the invitation that we come. And we break bread with one another, and we receive from him, the one who was and is and ever will be. I am not the God of yesterday or tomorrow, but the God of today. The one who remains for us, the very bread, the very essence of life itself. Let's just be still for a moment. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up and lead us